Good morning. It's good to be able to come to you this Easter online. But I have to be honest, it's really getting hard. I've been missing gathering together. 5 weeks is a long time for us not to be able to do church together. I hope you're making it okay. Today, as we talk about Easter, I want to share a message with you I'm calling fake news. Trying to discern what is real and what isn't is a challenging job right now. Some of the headlines I've seen lately are too much. One of them was conservative Christians delighted as everyone is finally dancing 6 feet apart. How about Chip and Joanna Gaines manufacture 1 million medical masks out of shiplap? This one's great. Millions of women outraged as essential oil businesses are deemed non-essential. Number four, nation's churches now host live streamed potlucks. Obviously, these headlines are just poking fun at things. They're intentionally fake news. They come from a satire website called the Babylon Bee. And as funny as they are, I've seen many times where someone reposts one of these headlines and articles on the internet or on Facebook or wherever, and people assume they are real, and outrage ensues. Now, we all know you can't believe everything you read on the internet. And unfortunately, we're getting to the place where you can no longer even believe everything you hear or see on the news, because everyone brings their angle, their perspective, and their agenda to bear on things. So trying to get to the truth can be very difficult. And this is not a new problem. In fact, truth was a central topic of discussion when Jesus first met with Pilate in the whole Easter scenario here. The first time they met together, Pilate questioned Jesus before his execution, and Jesus said he came to testify to the truth. And even Pilate responds sarcastically with, "What is truth?" And we're still kind of asking that same question. What is truth? And where do we find it? You know, eventually you have to land on something. Truth cannot be just subjective, or you're never going to be able to chart a course in life. You know, maybe that's one of the fundamental problems we're having in our society. Once you decide something is true, then you have to decide what to do with it. Is a given truth important enough to act upon it? See, not all truths are important. Now, we can determine that marshmallow peeps are soft. It probably doesn't change how you live life. It's true, but not really that important. And yet all of us are searching for and establishing truth all around us all the time. As the last month has unfolded, you've probably found yourself searching for truth. And when you think you're on something, aren't you then weighing it to see if it is important, if it's important enough to act on it? Don't you consider what it will cost to move forward embracing something as truth, and then also what it might cost if you reject it? Take a couple examples. Vitamin C. Some people are saying that it might be very helpful in fighting corona. What does it cost me to get vitamin C? Not very much. So if it's helpful, and there are health benefits regardless, and the cost is low, why not? For rating that, probably true and worth acting on. The other side of the coin is that some people have been pointing to and suggesting that people should not take ibuprofen. They suggest that can cause the symptoms to get worse. And what does it cost me to avoid ibuprofen? Again, I can take other pain medications, so it doesn't really cost me that much, and it could prove helpful. It seems kind of to me like a no-brainer, and unless more data becomes available refuting that. So rating, could be true, and probably worth acting on. We might not stop and think all of those kinds of things through all the way on every decision. We don't think about the steps that we're taking, but we make those kinds of decisions all the time. If you decide that something is true and important, then action must be taken. So I want you to really think about that. Maybe even jot that down. If you decide that something is true and important, then action must be taken. Can you see that process? Do you see that play out in your life? In fact, once something is decidedly true, delaying the proper action can actually result in terrible consequences. And we're seeing some of that unfold in our world as well. Okay, keep all of that in mind, because as we start talking about the Easter Sunday and the situation that unfolds in the Bible, we've got a bunch of people trying to figure out a really important situation and what's true. They're trying to sort out fake news from the truth and then act accordingly. The truth that all of Jerusalem has accepted at this point is that Jesus was crucified on Friday, and everything has dramatically changed, especially for his followers. Now they're self-quarantined for fear that they will face the same fate as that of their beloved Jesus Christ. At the end of John 19, we see that there are two men who are responsible for placing Jesus in the tomb. And it's not any of the 12 apostles. They were hiding. Instead, it's Joseph of Arimathea, accompanied by a Pharisee named Nicodemus. You might remember that Nicodemus was somebody who had snuck off to meet with Jesus, and Jesus had talked with him about being born again. These two men prepared Jesus' body for burial, coating him in 75 pounds of aloe and myrrh before wrapping him with linen strips. This particular tomb where Jesus was placed had never been used before. See, most tombs had multiple shelves kind of carved into the walls where bodies would be placed. And so you'd have not just one body, but you'd have maybe a whole family of bodies that would eventually occupy the same tomb. So because Jesus was the only body in this tomb, there was no confusion over which corpse was which. Additionally, other gospels mention that the tombs were sealed. This tomb was sealed with a large stone, and that soldiers were placed outside to prevent any tampering with the tomb. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at John chapter 20, and I want to invite you to follow along with me. We're starting here with verse 1. John chapter 20 is where we read, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb. And while it was still dark, she saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" So Mary reports what she believes to be a heist. She's not proclaiming a resurrected Lord, not initially. Based on that report, Peter and John race to the tomb looking for answers. They want to know what has happened to the body of their teacher and friend. And in the next few verses, we see that John arrives first and he looks into the tomb and he sees the linen wrappings without a body in them. But he's so distraught, he doesn't investigate further until Peter arrives. And when Peter gets there, he rushes into the tomb and he finds those strips of clothes arranged as if Jesus had evaporated, except for the cloth that was on his head, which is neatly folded up. Now, if you're looking for truth, none of that evidence fits with the idea that Jesus' body was taken. Thieves are generally not very tidy. They are in a hurry, so they don't get caught. When John entered the tomb in verse 9, it says that he saw and he believed. The linen strips were undisturbed, except for the folded head cloth. And the tomb was open. Now, the tomb was not open so that Jesus could get out. Obviously, he just evaporated through linen strips. The tomb was open so that the world would see the truth that he was risen from the dead. Jesus said he would do it, just as hundreds of years prior, prophets had said he would do it, just as 2,000 plus years later, we celebrate that he did it. These two disciples seem to accept the truth that Jesus is alive and they go home. But Mary decides to stick around. She's caught up now and she stays because she's distraught and still unconvinced. This truth is clearly difficult for her to accept. Mary is weeping and looking into the tomb herself, where she sees two angels. In John chapter 20, verse 13, it says, "And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" Notice that to this point, the only truth she's accepted is that Jesus' body is gone. She's not easily convinced of the real truth until verse 14. Because when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. And she did not even then know that it was Jesus. Maybe it was the tears in her eyes. Maybe it was her grief. Maybe it was something just her brain couldn't process. But regardless of why, in verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" It says, supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have yet to ascend to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, 'I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God.'" So then Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So the very first person proclaiming having encountered the risen Lord was a woman named Mary. Peter and John, no doubt, were also discussing their belief that Jesus was alive, but Mary had seen him. That evening, as they gathered behind locked doors and discussed the various information that they had received, weighing what might be truth, Jesus suddenly stood in their midst. That would have scared me to death, which is probably why Jesus spoke first, and he said, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus had been crucified, buried, and had risen from the dead. That was the truth. Remember, if you decide something is true and important, then action must be taken. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The disciples do embrace the truth of Christ's resurrection. All of them give the remainder of their lives to proclaim the good news that Jesus had died for our sin so that we could be made right with God. And we too can embrace the truth of this resurrection. We too can receive the Holy Spirit, and we too can go forth as those who proclaim the exact same good news of the gospel and the promise that Christ will come again. Yet despite all of this, there is still a skeptic who cries, "Fake news." Can you imagine the tension between Thomas and the other 10 when they tell him all that they've seen? Jesus alive, and he says, "I don't buy it." Some of us right now are getting angry with each other over toilet paper. To hoard or not to hoard? That is the question. We're struggling over proximity to social distance or not to social distance. Jesus being alive is vitally important. It dramatically alters their futures. And a week later, Thomas is still claiming fake news. Thomas says in John 20, verse 25, unless I see his hands and the imprints of the nails and put my fingers into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside. This time, Thomas is with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and he stood in their midst and said, "Again, peace be with you." Verse 27, he then said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." Thomas then believes and he proclaims Jesus is God, not just in this moment, but with the rest of his life. History goes on to record that 35 years later, Thomas went to go preach in India. And when Thomas opposed the false worship of a sun god there, the priest in that temple sentenced him to be tortured with red-hot metal and then to be thrown into a glowing furnace. To the amazement of everyone, the fire did not hurt Thomas. Furious with the results, the priest hurled spears into the fire, and Thomas's side was pierced with a spear, and he collapsed and died, sharing the truth of what Jesus had done for all of us. Jesus's response to Thomas's initial confession, upon seeing him resurrected, invites all those seeking truth to be blessed in embracing him as well. In verse 29 of John 20, Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see me and believed." Do you believe that Jesus was God made flesh? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sin, was buried, and then conquered death in victory? Do you believe that he will return one day to gather those who believe in him? Those are some very important statements. If those things are true, then action must be taken. Remember what we agreed to earlier. If you decide something is true and important, action must be taken. Have you believed the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done for you? There will always be people who cry fake news. In fact, that was the official position of the soldiers who had been guarding the tomb. When they went and told the priest what had happened in Matthew 28, it informs us that they were paid to promote the theory that Jesus' body was stolen. They were going to go around and spread that story. There's always been fake news, and there will always be those who believe what is fake and reject what is true. For those seeking truth, this is the most important truth you will ever evaluate. The claim Jesus made himself was that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one would go to the Father except through him. So those are the stakes, and the stakes are high. Rating: overwhelming evidence of truth for thousands of years. Absolutely worth acting on. If you delay on this one, it can come with devastating consequences, because no one knows the day or the hour Christ will return. But make no mistake, he is coming back. The Gospel of John concludes with verse 30 and 31. John 30 and 31 says, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written," listen why, "so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. We pray, I pray, that you may have eternal life this Easter. It simply comes down to this: a prayer where you admit your need for a Savior who died for your sin, where you believe that Jesus is who He says He is, that that truth gets settled, and where you confess your sin and commit to knowing and following Jesus Christ. I hope that's a prayer. If you've never prayed it, I hope that's a prayer you'll pray today. I'd like to pray as we close. Lord God, thank you for meeting us in this moment. Lord, thank you that you care so deeply for us, that you came to reveal yourself to us. Lord, that you came and lived a sinless, perfect life and gave us an example to follow. But Lord, you paid the cost of our sin so that we could also walk free of sin. That your blood on the cross paid that price so that we could be made totally right with you and not have to bear the weight of the wrong that we have done. Lord, I pray now that you would just move in hearts, and that if there are those seeking you who are feeling that tug of your Holy Spirit on their life, Lord, that they would have the courage right now to lay their life down and surrender it before you and come to know you as their Lord and Savior, to follow you, to be able to abide in you, and to have that peace that you talk about, peace you bring to us. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done, and Lord, may we come to know you more and more as we walk this life with you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So if today you've embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please let us know. You can just comment "saved" at the comments below, and we'd love to connect with you and encourage you on your faith journey. I hope you're plugged into the other options that are available to you on our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you're connecting with those. And additionally, if you're out and about online, we're actually going to be purchasing a marriage workshop that we're going to make available as well. And so we're going to send some information about that on email this week. And we'd like to get you checking in on that and doing something awesome with your quarantine time. So if you're on the email list, you'll be getting information about that very soon. May you have a blessed Easter. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday. We'll be sharing a message about total dependence on God. So be blessed and be a blessing.